So 9 times out of 10, you're going to be the underdog in most championship games when you're playing with Sligo. So it was a great drive for all the players, really, when you're getting ready to play championship V's against Mayo or Roscommon and Galway, any of the big three in Connacht, and then ourselves and Leitrim are probably looking at each other at similar stages in where we are in team progress and that. So it was easy to get going for the big team because you knew you were going to be an underdog, and it's a lot easier to play in them games because there's no pressure, there's no one expecting anything out of the team or win or anything like that. So it just makes things a lot easier coming up to championship games and the day of a game.
And could managers use that for the pep talk, listen to what they're saying about us or not saying about us? I mean, did it help galvanise teams?
It probably did. Like there was never really the manager that come in and maybe put an article up on the wall and say this is what such a pundit is saying about us, or what a manager of another team is saying about us. You're hearing it every day of the week. It's like we've no chance going playing against such a team and such a team. So, it was easy to galvanise a panel when you're playing with Sligo, against any of them big teams.
Pat, can I bring you in at this point?
Pat, can
As
I
a
bring you in
former
at this point?
Mayo player, I'm sure you featured maybe on panels where you were going into a game as warm favourites. And in your Tour Lestrand days, let's be honest, you're probably used to that because Tour Lestrand will be a fancy team in a lot of the club matches that they play in Sligo. Is that easy expectation to manage and deal with?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't believe it or buy into the whole thing. We're either underdogs or we're staunch favourites, and the whole thing is what a lot of managers buy into. And did you hear what such and such said about you? And did you hear what this one thinks? And this one thinks you're going to get bet. Like at the end of the day, you can say that for 15, 20 minutes before you got the best of me. But if you haven't worked done for the 6 months or years even before that, to that point, like there's nothing that he is going to say that's going to make you a better player than the guy on the other team that has that work done. And I think from. Like every time you go out, I suppose there's always going to be favourites and underdogs. But like for players themselves, like me personally, anyways, I wouldn't buy into whether you're staunch favourites or staunch underdogs. You still go out and you have to, it's a competition, I suppose. That's why we all play it, and that's why we love it. Like it's the competition element of it. Like and whether you're playing someone in a five-a-side soccer role on the AstroTurf, or you're playing in front of 15,000, 16,000 in the kind of final. Like it's still the same principle. Like so, I think that's more for the supporter side of things. From when I'm playing or when I was playing anyway. It was more for the supporters and the people that follow the thing rather than the actual players. I don't know what the Sligo lads think, but that was my viewpoint playing,
Yeah, Neil, what was your impression of that sort of expectation or lack of, as the case may be?
Yeah, to be honest, Austin, that whole sort of favourites, underdogs thing was probably something that would have hugely frustrated me in my time playing with Sligo. I think, and Pat touched on it there. I think it's definitely something more for media and supporters to talk around or to discuss in the build up to the game. As a player, I would have always felt that you go through the same preparation for every game, regardless of who you're playing. So, if we were underdogs in a game, you're still doing your preparation. You're looking at your own team's strengths and how you can build on them, maximize them, and you're doing a bit of opposition on the analysis, looking for what are their strengths, how can we counteract them, what are their weaknesses, how can we exploit them. And as a player, I try to approach every game, be it against one of the perceived bigger guns in Connacht, like the likes of a Mayo, or be it against the likes of a Leitrim, who would be perceived to be on the same level as ourselves. And I think, maybe sometimes there's this sort of psychological game going on. And, I think if it's been talked about by supporters and the media, it does creep into players' heads. Maybe not every player, but some players' heads of, oh, yeah, we're going to go into this game as favourites and we're going to underestimate them. And if we lose, it's because, that crept into our heads. Or we're going into this game as underdogs. And if we're a few points down, we nearly deserve to be a few points down, and it nearly becomes self-fulfilling. But, I think, and I'm sure the Sligo lads ahead of next again, they'll be approaching the game in the same way, where it's, how can we do what we want to do as a team in this game, and how can we stop the opposition doing what they want to do?
So, Pat, how should we approach a game like this from a Sligo perspective? Because let's be honest, the gap between the counties does feel particularly big at the moment, whether that's accurate or inaccurate. All the available evidence suggests that.
It does, I suppose, but it goes back to the point, I suppose, like, I don't think he can address it 14 days before the game. Like, you know, and it's something I became very aware in Sligo, I suppose, and, you know, it'd be more of the Scottish Rangers guys I'd be in contact with, especially the younger lads. And, you know, he'd be always saying, like, geez, you get a call this year, like, you know, for the county team. And, like, you know, it wouldn't be something then that say, you know, that you could see the excitement in their eyes, like, I'm going to get a call for the county team. Like, and, like, I'd be saying, like, what's the issue, like, here? Every child that grows up in Mayo wants to put on that green or red jersey. Like, it's the one thing to dream about. Where in Sligo, it doesn't seem to be that way, like. And the attitude is, well, sure, you know, sure, we're not going to win anything. Like, we're not going to. But, like, if everyone, you know, there's, what, 32 teams by 30, 960 or something players play every year. There's one team, one panel of 32 players that wins it, like. So, like, unless that attitude changed in Sligo, I think, 14 days before the game, there isn't a whole pile you can do. You know, the same players, the same, I don't know, population difference, but the same players play in Sligo as play in Mayo. But that appetite to play has to be there, and I suppose it has to be sold to the younger people in a way. You know, I would say to them, like, where else are you going to get the opportunity to play? If you play Mayo next Sunday, I know the coronavirus or whatever is going to have implications this year, but normally there could be 50,000 to 20,000 people in front of that game, watching that game live. Where else are you going to get that as a young kid in any country in the world growing up? There's no other amateur sport you can do that. And I suppose that's not kind of sold. It's always feel sorry for yourself. Actually, we're going to get back, you know, and sure, we don't have this and we don't have that. And, you know, like, I know the two guys there, from what I've seen of them, like, they'd be ultra professional, like, but I think you'd have more insight on that, lads. There seems to be, you know, say 50% of the players that play, want to play county football in Sligo, ultra professional at that level and put in that effort. And the other people are just kind of like, ah, sure, we go along with them and see what happens. And, you know, it isn't the same as what I used to see in Mayo, I'll put it that way to you. I don't know if I'm explaining that too well or not, but I suppose that's the big difference I see, and the thing that needs to change in Sligo going forward is that exactly. But it needs to be sold to kids, like, that this is, you know, this is in a sporting context, like, there is, you can't do anything else in life that's going to be better than this or feel better than this. And then once you go out on that field, even if you're underdogs, it's still, you know, you have to mark your man, and you have to, if you can win that individual battle, like, whether you do get beat, you know, it shouldn't be the be-all and end-all, like, which I think it is in Sligo, which is always referred to in Sligo.
Okay, Pat, you're making some very interesting points there, and your line was starting to break up there just in the second half of that. But Adrian, you know, Pat's making the reference to, you know, the level of, and the word is professionalism to a degree, and the way players approach that. I mean, has that been an issue? And this might be a hard question to ask or to say, that in some aspects there's been a tolerance for mediocrity from time to time with Sligo.
I think Pat has hit the nail on the head there. There's no, he's definitely, every point he's made there is valid. Like, there's no, as I was saying, as you said there about the excitement of getting a call for your county. Like, when, like, I do an awful work in Mayo, like, and football in Mayo, it's all to talk about night and day. You can't meet anyone in a shop. I work in a lot of shops around Tesco's in Mayo, and that's all to talk about is football. You don't hear that in Sligo. I'd have been Sligo, the same. It's like the same interest as Ninnis in Sligo, and that's gone down now through all age levels. Like, it's, people are just happy enough playing with their club, don't want to give the commitment maybe to go into the county, see how much it takes time wise, and then you see what you're getting out of it, maybe a couple of league games, a heavy championship defeat. But maybe it's down to maybe ex-players and the likes of us that's finished up now to maybe try and change that, what people perceive of a county footballer and the county football in Sligo, maybe.
Here's the thing, though, guys. When I hear ye saying that, as someone who coaches club football at a very minor level, underage, I find myself getting annoyed, because at grassroots level, I hear so many Sligo people who are clearly fanatical about Sligo football and wanting to improve Sligo football, and they would talk it up and down till the cows come home. And I would argue that Zulu mentality is there, maybe not everywhere in pockets, but it is there in the county, Neil Ewing.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, Austin, but I do think the lads have touched on an important point. And, you know, I think there's a lot of facets to it, and, you know, you could probably spend a day going into a lot of them. You know, this might sound strange, but, like, I've often been jealous of nearly the criticism that Mayo get it sometimes by their own supporters. And have done over the last few years, despite how, you know, relatively successful they've been, just how passionate those supporters are and how passionate GAA people in the county are. And I think that's there's a gap when it comes to that in Sligo. And you know, not to be critical of yourselves in any way or anything like that, but I think even when it comes to the media in Sligo, there's a gap there in terms of, you know, how the team has been covered, and you know, maybe there hasn't been enough of analysis of, you know, how Sligo football has dropped off from levels it might have been at in the past. And you know, I think when players, you know, be they younger players, be they older players coming up, when they see that level of coverage, you know, like if I was a young player at Mayo, 13, 14, and when you see the support around the county or the interest in the Mayo senior football team around the county, you want to be involved in that, and it creates this level of expectation as well that, you know, when I get onto that Mayo senior team, if I can possibly get onto it, despite just how competitive it is, that I want to be winning. I want to be winning Connacht Championships. I want to be winning All Irelands, where that expectation isn't there in Sligo. I think, you know, as a county, I think even the support structures around the team, and it's probably by osmosis that it's happened or it's just crept in, but that level of expectation among supporters, among media, has really fallen. And you know, that probably, yeah, subconsciously feeds into the players, where there's maybe not the same interest to be involved with the team, which is crazy for me, because you know, I know as a young player it was you know, it was a dream to be able to pull on that jersey at senior level. And it's sad to hear, you know, I know somebody from Mayo like Pat, you know, come in and say that he sees that. It's, you know, it's very hard to listen to, but I think, you know, we really need to look at sort of everything that feeds into that. You know, are we doing enough to brand GAA in Sligo in the best respect possible to get. And you know, it really is so multifaceted. You know, we need to build the pyramid all the way up. It needs to be strong at the bottom, but you know, at every level, we need to be getting as many players involved and keeping as many players involved, right through from nursery to schools level, even on to adult club level. You know, is every single thing possible happening to keep as many players as possible interested? You know, so that makes it competitive right the way up. And then, you know, in tandem with that, you know, how that's branded around the county, and you know, how that's covered, and will that start to slowly change the perception? But again, it's not an overnight thing. This, you know, when I was younger, you know, I know even amongst my peer group, you know, there was a lot of guys with that burning ambition to play for Sligo. So to think that that wouldn't be there at the minute is very sad. But it, you know, it didn't happen overnight, so it's going to take some time to build it up again.
And Pat Hart, as you said, it's not going to be solved for Sligo in the 14 days before a championship match. And the current Sligo manager, Tony McEntee, said as much last Sunday after the Division 4 Shield loss to Wexford. We have to assume morale took a bit of a hit within the dressing room. And he spoke after the game about, it's about looking at next season now and starting the work and working towards that. And I mean, you know, the quick reaction to that might be, God, is he bypassing the Mayo match altogether? He's not, but he is a direct sort of guy in terms of how he approaches things, and he is thinking longer term. I suppose the question becomes, Pat, how long does it take for Sligo to try and bridge that gap in your mind?
I suppose the narrative kind of has to change like that. You know, it's not a big, it's not this, that it's been put out there in a lot of the, say, part of the top three or four counties. This narrative is out there that it's a huge effort to put in for young people nowadays, to go county training and put in the effort to the gym and put in the whole lot. Like, it's not a huge effort, like, and that narrative has to change. And until that narrative changes to kids, that what you're getting out of this is always an awful lot more than what you're going to put in. And, like, to pull on the black and white jersey, or whether it's the Leitrim jersey or whatever jersey it is, that all has to be the same in every county. Like, you have to have that, you know, from, and that comes a lot from, you know, I even hear parents saying it to kids, like, I'm saying, like, well, you cop yourself on, telling your kid, like, Asher, don't, you know, don't be wasting your time with that crack of Sligo, and, you know, go to college in Dublin or this, that, and other. Like, you will get far more out of county football, you know, no matter what county you're playing for, than you will anything else in life in this country, bar obviously you get the exceptions. But like, and unless that narrative changes, wasn't put forward, it's very difficult to see how it's going to turn around, you know, from look at that, that's just looking at it from the outside. Like, but like, if you look at the way it is next Sunday, what I'd be saying to the players that I know that's playing on, like, it's still, you know, it's 15 on 15, it is a market which park, like a place that Mayo never really, when I was playing, never liked going to. So like, you know, it can't be just about the scoreboard. Like, we can't just say, well, like, if we get better on the scoreboard today, that's a real downside. Like, there has to be other targets in that game. Well, listen, if we might win on the scoreboard, but we can't achieve something from that game.
And on that, Adrian Marn, finally, I mean, in terms of next Saturday, I've heard it, I'm sure you've heard it, some Sligo supporters saying Markovic Park next weekend is about damage limitation for Sligo. But push that to one side, what do you want to see from this Sligo team next weekend? I'm not talking in terms of the result, but in terms of attitude, performance, what are you hoping to see from this Sligo team next weekend?
Yeah, like attitude and performance is the big thing, but I'm sure Tony, you know, he's probably said the league is over, that's that competition gone. All they've left is a championship game against Mayo. Like, and I know he came out in the media saying that this year was kind of a washout and he's looking forward to next year. But I'm sure he's going to have the boys well prepped just to try and get a performance, make sure they have their tactics right, who they're marking, everything right. And as you said, just pure like attitude and pride. Like, you know, as Pat was saying there about not do the scoreboard or anything, like, it's all about kind of getting the performance out of the team. It's building. I'm sure Tony's coming now, he's realised it's going to take probably 2 or 3 years for him to put a stamp on what way he wants lads playing, to know his best 15. Like, Liam Gawen probably hasn't played an awful lot of football this year, but you'd be presuming he's going to be in next Saturday. You need your better players playing against the big teams. And look, take 2015 out of it, the result in the Connacht final, Sligo have always kind of ran Mayo tight. There's only been a couple of points in it, nothing too major.
Neil, I'll just pick up on that with you. Like, would a heavy defeat maybe accelerate the county conversation about what needs to change?
I think regardless of the outcome, there's definitely a conversation that needs to be had about the longer term future of Sligo football. You know, in terms of next weekend itself, you know, I think it's a massive opportunity for the team. Like, you know, they have a chance of winning. It might be a small chance, and, you know, it might be a smaller chance than it has been in previous years. But, you know, undoubtedly, you know, Tony and the lads will be preparing for that, and they'll be doing everything in their power to make sure that that happens. You know, probably over the last maybe 3 seasons, there's been a concession where we, you know, conceded a lot of goals and, you know, knocked the stuffing out of the team. So, you know, I think they need to set up in a way and play in a way that's going to keep them in the game, allow them to bring it down the home stretch. And, you know, I think as well, this group of players deserve our support. Like, you know, and I seen it firsthand from them. They are putting in massive effort and they are ticking the boxes that need to be ticked as serious inter-county performers. But, you know, it's very easy to maybe be a hurler on the ditch, stand back and, you know, and criticise the group of lads that are putting in that effort. But whereas, you know, for me, I'd maybe, you know, turn a mirror on that and go, a lot of the people criticising the current group of players is, you know, being not good enough, which I think is maybe a glib and throwaway comment. You know, need to go, okay, well why have we ended up with a group of players who aren't competitive? And, you know, that's, in reality, that's a reflection of the work that's went in at various underage levels and, you know, various levels across the board. And, you know, there's been huge work that has been put in by some great people in Sligo GAA. You know, we've seen Summerhill, St. Attractors competing in Connacht AA finals, but, you know, that hasn't maybe carried through the club level, you know, that competitiveness that a lot of those players, you know, maybe haven't went on to play senior club football. You know, why is that happening? And I think that brings us to the, you know, probably the most important thing that, you know, as you said there, like the result next Saturday could be something that could ignite a debate on the wider issue of football in Sligo. And, you know, I think it's important that that happens regardless of the outcome. You know, Pat's touched on it there, enthusiasm among players, you know, parents actively discouraging players from playing with their county, from pulling on the black and white jersey. And, you know, if parents are doing that, you know, they're hearing it from, you know, numerous people. They're hearing it from friends. It's, you know, why do that when you could do this and this, and, you know, that's going to be way more crack and you're wasting your time. Like, that whole bubble needs to be burst. I think it needs to be a line. There needs to be a line in the sand moment for Sligo GAA. You know, acknowledge the elephant in the room. We're not where we need to be. We're not where we want to be. But come up, get the right people in the room to figure out why that is, and get the right people in the room to come up with a plan on how we can close that gap. And, you know, it's not, as Pat said as well, it's not a 14-day plan. This is like a 15-20-year plan, and we go, okay, this is where we are today, this is what we need to do to get to where we want to be, and this is how we're going to do it. And you know, if there's an issue there where it's, you know, finance is the constraint on that happening, or the availability of the right people is the constraint, well, you know, publicize that finance is the issue. Publicize that we don't have the people available and ask for help. And, you know, if Crow Park or if the GAA turn around and say, okay, that's great work you've done, and yeah, that would help if you implemented all this stuff, but we're not going to support you on it, well, so be it. But at least try, you know, at least try and do what we can for the future of the game in Sligo, because genuinely, I will be very worried about where it's going. And that's not just at senior intercounty level, you know, that's the tip of the iceberg, but we need to make sure that we have a strong and vibrant game at every level in the county. And then naturally, you know, what happens at senior intercounty level will reflect that, and we'll make progress towards where we want to be. And again, I know I mentioned earlier, I've been jealous of the Mayo players, and, you know, probably some of the criticism, but obviously also the praise that they would have gotten over the years. But I'd also be jealous of the Mayo supporters, some of the great memories, some of the great days out that they've had with the journey that the team has brought them on. And, you know, they're unique things that the GAA can do for a community, for a county, for friends, for families. And, you know, we want days like that for Sligo. And, you know, there's a lot of people in Sligo who deserve that. So let's draw a line in the sand, figure out how we can make that happen, and start taking steps to make sure that it does happen.
Pat Hart, I'll give the last word to you as the man with Mayo blood coursing through his veins here. You've heard a fairly impassioned plea from Neil Ewing there, who has soldiered with Sligo and continues to do in the Yates County, and Adrian before that. What is the next step for Sligo in your mind?
Well, I don't know. Like I don't know the answer. But I live in Sligo now. Like, you know, I want Sligo football to do well. Like, and I think, you know, if anyone in Galway or Mayo wants Sligo football to do well, because like, who wants a non-competitive competition? Like, we look at Leinster and the way it's gone at the minute. Like, you know, it's a farce, really. Like, so, like, it's in everybody's interest that Sligo football is competitive. As in what we do about it, I don't know. But I think the first thing that needs to change is the narrative that's been put out there, that it's a huge effort to for the likes of Sligo lads now to play. That needs to change. What you will get out of it is an awful lot more than the effort you put into it. And like, it has to be seen for what it is like. I suppose the positives, you know, Neil touched on a lot of the negatives there that people see when they look at it. But the positives isn't being focused on. Like, and that is, you know, that you go out in front and display your talent or whatever it is in front of 15, 20,000 people. There's no other amateur sport in the world that you can do that unless you're a professional sports person, which is a tiny, tiny percentage. And the people that will make that is very, very small. Like, Neil touched on a good point there about bringing the proper professionals in. And we see that what's happened in other counties, you know, when they have brought actually serious expertise in to look after that and to manage that, the results are there to be seen. But, like, you know, it kind of has to start, like, very, as Neil said, it's a 15 to 20 year plan, like, and start ones and move up from there. Like, but, you know, I can see what's wrong from the outside, but I don't have all the answers on how to fix it, unfortunately. But the first thing that needs to change, like, it needs to be seen from every young lad in Sligo, and it should be. Like, it's sad, really, in a way that it's not, that my dream is to put on that black and white jersey when I get to the age or whenever I'm called up to the team. Like,